Praise God. Eutychus didn't fall asleep because he was bored. He fell asleep because he was, in fact, so excited. But in spite of everything he did, he fell asleep, fell out the window, and fell to his death for a few minutes. Well, not that time. You know, it's interesting, though. You can imagine what it must have been like when Paul raised him from the dead. Somebody said, I heard somebody tell me the other day, I forget the name of the artist, I think it was Leonardo da Vinci. Some teacher was asking their student, this little girl, if Leonardo da Vinci somehow came back from the dead and was alive today and saw the world we were living in, if Leonardo da Vinci came back from the dead, what do you think he would be most surprised about? And the little girl said, that he came back from the dead. I had to give her credit, but it's probably right. In spite of everything else, his first words would be, whoa, dude, I'm alive. And I'm sure Eutychus felt the same way. What am I doing on the ground? Oh my gosh, I fell out the window. So my challenge to you today is this. What does God want us to take from this passage? What does He want us to go home with? What truth does He have for us to lay a hold of in this passage? And I'm asking rhetorically, but think about it. What's the meaning? How do we apply this to our life? So what? All right, it's a cool story. The dude fell asleep, fell out the window. He died. Paul raised him from the dead, and they went until daylight. Cool, you know. So what? What does that mean? You guys have come here, and thank you. Thank you, truly, for coming and sacrificing a couple hours out of your day. I'm grateful, and I want to honor that. I want to honor the fact that you took the time to come out and hear me talk about this stuff. But so what? If it doesn't have any critical meaning to your life today, I'm just another bunch of hot air. You might as well change the station and put on football. What's the meaning here? Why is this critically important for us to know? Last week when I studied this, I was having a hard time answering that question. I thought, cool story, but so what? And so I got out a bunch of commentaries of other guys who wrote about this passage to see what they had to say. And I was surprised. They didn't know either. They didn't say that. They didn't say, oh, you know, I don't know what this means. They just skipped the question. Usually they say, well, here's why this is important in your life. They didn't say anything. They just skipped it. And I looked high and low, man. I did a lot of studying about this. And finally I found one guy, he said, well, you know, the point of this passage is you shouldn't preach a long time and you shouldn't fall asleep in church. Give me a break. Was he blonde or something? No offense to blondes. Real or fake, I don't know. I've been plotting to say that since yesterday. Anyway. she's not here anyway. Oh well. But yeah, he says the point of the passage, don't preach long, don't fall asleep in church. That is not the point of this passage. Nice try, swing and a miss. That's not what Scripture is saying here. That's not what God wants us to know. Probably, in fact, the very opposite of that. Well, I figure God didn't want me to know last week, because if I found out, I probably would have felt too guilty about. We talked about having an all-worship Sunday, and I probably would have been guilted into preaching, so God hid it from me. So we could have that awesome time, 2 hours just worshiping God, man, just rocking out to the Lord. It was awesome. I loved it. But early this week, all of a sudden, it came to me as I was reading that passage. It was just like God unfolded. It's just like, shh, John, don't you see? And it touched me. And I believe the point of the passage is this, to answer the question, so what? Here is so what? This is what I believe He wants us to know. And it's this, in one word, love the Lord God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. Hunger after Him. Pursue after Him. Lay a hold of Him. Don't let anything in this world come between you and knowing God. Because He is worth it. He's worth staying up till midnight. He's worth staying up till daybreak. He's worth falling out the window for. He's worth your very life if necessary. Don't let anything come between you and knowing God in all of His fullness. It's too critical because we don't know if we have tomorrow. We may only have today. I've preached enough funerals to know that you just don't know when your time has come. And we don't know if we'll have this opportunity. Today is the day. That's why Scripture says now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Whatever God is doing in your life, lay hold of that thing with both arms and let nothing stand in the way. Do whatever you have to do to get a hold of what God is doing in your life at that moment. If there is a unique opportunity presented to you to grow in the knowledge of Him, seize that day. Even if you have to stay up until midnight, even if you have to stay awake till dawn, even if it costs you your very life for a few minutes. Amen. I believe God showed us this picture of a hungry, thirsty church because He wanted us to know what it looks like when you have a hungry, thirsty church. Because He wanted us to be that church, to follow after Him with fire in our bones, with zeal and passion, and to know that He is worthy of our very life. And to pursue Him. And if we will pursue Him with that kind of zeal and with that kind of passion, He will show Himself faithful to us. He will honor our faith by showing Himself faithful to us, even if He has to raise us from the dead to do it. That's our God. That is our God. That is our God. That's why we come here for hours on Sunday. It's not just to be religious. It's not just because we want to be in some boring church and put on a show. It's not so we can get dressed up and put on airs so our neighbors will think we're spiritual. We come because we have fallen head over heels, passionately in love with Jesus Christ, and He is worthy of everything we are. Thank you. Amen. Yes. Yes, Lord, You are worthy, God. You deserve our praise. You are worthy of the praise of every mouth on this planet, God. Hallelujah, Lord. I'm not saying that because I'm some spiritual dude. I was a wreck when Jesus saved me. I did not deserve His love. I didn't deserve a salvation. I had selfishly hurt so many people and was living such a dysfunctional life. And why He decided that one day He would come and save this sinner, I have no idea. But all I can do is fall on my face in gratitude and say thank You for giving me purpose and meaning and wholeness and freedom. Man, I long for freedom. I don't know about you guys, if you have ever sat in your room or in a room somewhere when the entire world was asleep. Now, I know I partied late into the night back in my wilder days, and there's a time when pretty much most of the world is asleep. And we would go out and do all kinds of crazy, stupid stuff. But there were other times when the world was asleep when I was by myself. And I wrestled with fears and questions and anxieties, and it ripped my soul apart. And I did everything I can to drown out that voice that was inside of me saying, man, there's got to be something to life, because frankly, it all seems meaningless and frankly, a very scary place. And friends die. Why did I get to live? I was as bad as they were. When was my time coming? What would happen when it did? If I was honest with myself, I knew what ought to happen. But He loved me anyway. And He saved me anyway. And not because I was some special guy, just because He was an incredibly special Savior. And that's the offer He makes to every one of us today. In Isaiah, the Lord spoke through Isaiah and said, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters and drink without cost. Without cost, it's free. Why do you spend money on things that won't satisfy? Why do you spend money and time on things that can never fill that hole in your soul when I am the fountain of living waters? And he calls us to drink. I think he's speaking to the adults here, because there are adults in this illustration, in this story. I think he's speaking to the youth also, however, because the main character in this story is a young man, probably a teenager. Because God doesn't suddenly take an interest in you when you turn 20 or 21. He's been madly in love with you since before you even came into this world. He's been waiting for 2,000, maybe longer. Actually, he's been waiting for thousands of years for you to come on the scene so he could show you just how incredibly passionate in love he is with you and what amazing, breathtaking plans he has laid out for your life, the destiny that he has. You have a destiny. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that he has stuff prepared for us ahead of time to walk in, so that we can, through those works, find out just what an awesome God he is. You have a destiny, and it's with Jesus Christ, to either know him and love him, or to reject him and eventually give an account to him. Praise God. And so I'm going to take the rest of these two pages of notes and just tear them up, because that's all I have to say. This isn't important. Jesus Christ is important. When you come in here, if you pray to receive Christ, and I would be glad to lead you in a prayer like that, you're not receiving John D'Souza. I'm just a dude. Good days and bad days. But Jesus Christ is it. He is. He's our reason and purpose. All things were made through him and for him. You were made for him. We sang a song a few minutes ago. In the secret. It says, I'm reaching for the highest goal, that I might receive the prize. What's the prize? Jesus. Jesus. And eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. We want to lay a hold of him. Paul said, I messed up my past. I had all kinds of credentials and still messed it up. But I'm forgetting my past and putting everything in my past behind me. And I am pressing forward with everything I have to lay a hold of Christ. I'm reaching for the highest goal, that I might receive the prize, pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside. Let me ask each person in here today, whether you've already received Christ as your Lord and Savior or whether you've never taken that opportunity. When you sang this song today, and you said, God, I'm pushing every hindrance aside, what were you saying to God? It's a catchy tune. I mean, you can just, and it's easy to just get it and just start saying, oh, I'm pushing every hindrance out of my way. But when you sang that to God, what hindrance were you talking about? What were you pushing out of the way? What is standing between you and loving God truly with every bit of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? What hindrance is God calling you to push out of the way so that you can live for him? If it's the fear that it'll be a boring life, I can testify to you today, you lay a hold of Jesus Christ and it'll be the most exciting, scary, thrilling adventure you have ever experienced in your life. He will change you inside and out. If you're afraid that your buddies will laugh at you, don't worry, someday they'll laugh at you anyway. The friends I had when I was in the world were so hot and cold. They love you one day when you had money and drugs, and they hate you the next day or ignore you the next day when you didn't. But your brothers and sisters in Christ who have found their purpose in him will love you unconditionally, and they will lay down their life for you and die for you if necessary.